Hey there, friends. Our scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." So we've been in a series called Becoming Your Best Self, where we're taking the spirit of the New Year season, a season where we put a lot of stock in new beginnings, fresh starts, aspirations for self-improvement. And maybe this year you have a goal to adapt a healthier lifestyle, whether it's a physical fitness plan, a whole foods diet. Maybe you're trying to carve out more time for family or self-care. But I think we all have something in our lives that we would like to change. And of course, we use New Year's as kind of a springboard for that hope that maybe this will be the year we get to make that change. And as much as we desire that change, we often fail to fully implement it so that it becomes ingrained into our lives. We get stuck for a number of reasons: time management, loss of motivation, or maybe we believed the lie that it doesn't matter what we do, because in the end we will fail, we will fall off the wagon, we will still be stuck. So if we're going to get unstuck, we have to develop a strategic plan and prioritize in ways we probably have not up to this point. Becoming unstuck requires that we, one, train first for the things that matter most. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, building our foundation on the Word of God. The second thing we need is accountability. We talked about this last week, that we need a support system. We need people to come alongside us, and we need to ditch this idea that we can do it by ourselves. And today, we're going to address the third thing we need, and that is we need to be made new in the attitude of our minds. We need to renew our minds. So before we unpack all of this, we need to understand first that becoming fit for the kingdom begins not with self-improvement. Remember, I said this series is called Becoming Your Best Self, but really what I'm talking about is becoming Christ-like. It's becoming a reflection of Him. So becoming fit for the kingdom begins not with self-improvement, but with surrender. And that's what Paul writes about in our passage here. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Notice Paul doesn't say, you need to try harder. You need to do better. You need to fix yourself. That is the pattern of the world. But he says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Instead, he says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, sacrifices were costly. You know, something that would have put food on the family's table, even something that might have been dear to the family, they took that and they placed it fully on the altar, meaning they didn't keep one hand on it. They completely surrendered it. Kingdom fitness starts when we say, God, my body, my habits, my schedule, my relationships, my ambitions, I lay them on the altar. I turn them over to you. This is not about becoming a better version of you. This is about becoming a surrendered version of you. Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't get stuck. You can't live a transformed life with an unrenewed mind. You know, before we can change behaviors, before we can change habits, before we can bring positive change to our relationships, your mind must be renewed. The problem is we are constantly being trained by the patterns of this world. Social media trains us to compare. Advertising trains us to consume. Culture trains us to serve self. Fear trains us to protect comfort. Anger trains us to draw lines in the sand and push people out. Paul says, don't let the world be your personal trainer, because whatever shapes your thinking eventually shapes your living. Let me give you an example. Someone who keeps consuming the lie that you have to look a certain way to be considered beautiful, you know, whether they're hearing that through peers at school or through watching movies where characters are portrayed are often very slender, or maybe it's through commercials that push products for rapid weight loss. Someone who absorbs this stimuli like a sponge, so much so that it shapes their thinking, they are likely to become someone who obsesses over mirrors and scales. They compare themselves to everyone else. They may develop an eating disorder. Their thinking begins to shape their living. The mind is a very powerful thing. If fear shapes your thinking, you will likely fight for control rather than surrender. If comparison shapes your thinking, you're going to be constantly comparing your life to everyone else's, and you will never be satisfied. If bitterness shapes your thinking, you're going to keep everyone at arm's length, and you're going to find yourself in isolation. So if we're going to change these destructive habits and behaviors, our minds need to be renewed. The word transformed refers to metamorphosis. Okay, this is the same word used to describe how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. Okay, so this is not just, it's not just a superficial makeover. It's not just a behavioral modification. It is a new way of life expressed through a renewed mind. But how do we get there, right? Because we don't just drift into metamorphosis. It might happen for a caterpillar, but it's not going to for you. You have to train yourself with God's help to experience transformation. You need spiritual fitness. You know, just like physical fitness requires repetition, resistance, routines, spiritual fitness requires scripture shaping your thoughts. You know, prayer recalibrating your heart. It requires community, accountability to sharpen your character. Confession, you know, cleansing our body of toxins, and not just physical toxins. We're going to talk about this next week at length. We're going to talk about detoxing bitterness and unforgiveness. All that needs to be part of your spiritual fitness plan. A renewed mind learns how to say no to temptation, how to say yes to obedience, how to endure hardship, even suffering, with resolve, how to love enemies, how to walk in peace, how to discern truth from noise. And these are all things we struggle with. Yes, they don't come naturally for us. So we have to develop those muscles, right? We have to train for it. If you train for the things that will matter most, right? If you train first for the things that matter most, what will happen? Paul says what will happen is that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Many people say, I just want to know God's will for my life, but I'm not sure what that is. And Paul says, renew your mind. and then you'll recognize it. God's will isn't hidden from people who surrender themselves to Him. It becomes clearer as your thinking is renewed, as it aligns with God's design. You know, the world defines best self as more money, better body, higher status, more comfort. God defines your best self as someone who looks like Jesus. So being fit for the kingdom means we choose humility instead of ego, that we choose faith over fear, obedience instead of excuses, forgiveness over bitterness, service instead of self-promotion. But that kind of health only comes from having a renewed mind and a surrendered life. So as you develop your spiritual fitness plan, as you seek to renew your mind, I want you to think about these things, okay? Think about what voices shape your thinking the most. What habits are forming your character? What patterns are keeping you spiritually weak? What would change if your mind truly belonged to Christ? And as you think about those things, I also want you to make some intentional habits, you know, set some intentional rhythms that will rewire your thinking. And I'm going to offer you a few, okay? There's many, but I'm going to offer a few. And the first one is a big one, probably one that many of us needed to start implementing yesterday. Okay, number one, start your day. And I mean before your feet even hit the floor. Spend 5 to 10 minutes in prayer or in scripture. Okay, before your feet hit the floor, you need to come before the throne of God. Before you come before the throne of Google, Yahoo, Facebook, how many of us, when we wake up, the first thing we do is reach for that phone and we start scrolling through our social media to see what we missed the last 5 to 8 hours that we were sleeping? That is the worst way to start your day. When I ask you what patterns are keeping you spiritually weak, it might be this one. If you do this, stop doing it now. Okay? Start tomorrow morning not doing that, because that is going to set the tone for the rest of the day. Comparison and division. That's mostly what you see on social media, and it will eventually shape your living. You'll engage it, and there's no room for that in your life if you're going to become fit for the kingdom. So start your day in prayer or scripture, both if you can. Maybe also start by saying, today is going to be a great day. Before your feet hit the floor, say, today is going to be a great day. Now, you might think that's cheesy, you know, to start your day by saying that, but it's actually a powerful act of renewal, because what it does is it reroutes the information our minds have been programmed to think for so long. You know, many of us wake up already anticipating the stress of the day. We start by saying, I'm so tired. I'm ready to be done with this week. Let's get this over with. That inner script quietly sets the tone for how we interpret everything that follows. We begin the day braced for frustration. And when we do that, we become quicker to react. We are slower to trust and more likely to see obstacles instead of opportunities. You know, we will spend more time complaining than giving thanks, right? We complain about how slow the Wi-Fi is, or the traffic jam on the way to work, or how your fries were cold at lunch, or your package got lost in the mail and everything is ruined. That inner script has a sneaky way of narrowing your vision to only accentuate the negative. If so, you start your day, the best way to start your day is to say, today is going to be a great day. Just try that for a week and see what changes. You might surprise yourself. Now, you don't have to say it that way. You could say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Right? There are many ways you could say that. Now, you might be thinking, okay, but what if it isn't going to be a great day? Because maybe you're going to a funeral that day, or maybe you're going to court, or maybe you're going to chemotherapy, right? Listen, you can still say, today is going to be a great day. By declaring today is going to be a great day, you are not denying the reality of the day. You are reframing it through faith. And when you do that, you will intentionally find the opportunities, even in the heaviness of the day. You know, you'll share happy memories at that funeral, and you will laugh about them with your friends and family, and you'll give thanks for what God gave you through that person's life. Maybe if that's the day you go to chemotherapy, maybe you make a new friend, you know, someone who is maybe new to chemotherapy, and you can tell they are scared, and you make a conscious effort to reach out to them and say, hey, I know how scary this is, but I am here for you, and you don't have to walk alone. When you do that, you are telling your mind, God is already in this day. His mercies are new this morning. I am not walking alone. And whatever comes today, I will handle it with God's help. You know, that single sentence trains your thinking to expect God's presence instead of anticipating all the problems. It shifts you from a posture of dread to a posture of trust. And that, my friends, is transformation. You are choosing not to conform to the anxious, cynical pattern of the world, but you are being transformed by rehearsing a different truth, that this day belongs to God. And if God is in it, it can be good even when it is hard. Over time, that daily declaration begins to shape how you see things, how you respond to things, right? How you respond to traffic, your coworkers, your children, your setbacks, and even your surprises. Your circumstances might not change, but your interpretation of them does. And whatever shapes your thinking will shape your living. Some other intentional habits you can create to renew your mind. If you're a person that struggles a lot with anxiety and worry, or maybe you're just going through something particularly difficult and it's hard to not get sucked into the vacuum of negativity and hopelessness, I want to offer you something that has been helpful for me, okay? When I'm going through a trial or a tribulation, I will search scriptures, you know, that might speak to that. Okay, once I was dealing with a person that had a very narcissistic personality, would regularly bully and gaslight me to the point that, you know, if their number showed up on my caller ID, sometimes even the mention of their name, like I'd become gripped with anxiety, and it was almost debilitating at times, and it was actually becoming a dysfunction in my life. And I finally got to a point that I knew I had to do something proactive to break free of the hold this person had on my life, like they were living rent-free in my mind. So in addition to seeing a counselor and getting in a support group, I started searching the scriptures to see how they might speak to this situation. And when I found one that gave me a sense of inner calm and peace, I wrote it down on an index card. And I ended up with over a dozen cards that I just kept on me at all times. And when I would start to feel that anxiety creep in, whether it was through a phone call or a repressed memory, I would start going through those cards, reading those scriptures as many times as it took until I felt peace again. Scriptures like, you know, no weapon formed against you will prosper. That did something to my mind because I was finally able to get to a place where I would hear something about this person, and it no longer rattled me like it did before. And I began to pray for this person's life. I prayed for good things for this person. I still do. I still keep a boundary up to protect my peace, but I pray for good things for them. So maybe try that. If you're a person that is going through a difficult season of life or just struggling with general anxiety, try that. That will renew your mind. Removing one toxic influence from your life. This could be a number of things. It might be the media, right? It might be a person that you need to put up a boundary with. And these are just some of many intentional things you can do to help you be made new in the attitude of your mind so that you can discern God's good and perfect will for you and find the path to becoming your best self, a reflection of Christ for His glory. Someone once said, "My body is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master." So is the mind. If we don't train our minds will train us. So let's resolve together to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And let us not conform to the pattern of this world. Let us be transformed in the renewing of our minds. Let's start training for this together today. Let's pray. Lord, we surrender our bodies, our habits, our minds, and our desires to You. Retrain our thinking. Renew our minds and our hearts. Transform our lives. Make us healthy, not just for ourselves, but for Your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.